action during the war was that one night I was in bed, asleep. I was woken up by enormous gunfire because they used to have an aircraft anti-aircraft gun battery at Hadley. I think it was somewhere around the Salvation Army colony. My mother came in and said, "Look, quick, get up. There's an aircraft caught in searchlights." So I got up, had a look, and there it was. It was a Heinkel 111. We learned afterwards that it had been laying magnetic mines. It was heading out east, so I was assuming it was going back. It was quite low, and the lower turret gunner started firing at the searchlights. I could see the tracer going out, and some of the searchlights went out, but he got away, so there was no problem there.
Would you have been laying these mines in the Thames?
Yes. In fact, I think they found one at Shoebury, and they managed, by using non-magnetic tools, to take it apart and find out how it worked. That was early in the war, I think about late 39, 40. We obviously had shelters delivered after a number of months. I think they were Anderson shelters. We were given them, and then my father had to dig a great big hole and assemble them. And we all thought, well, that's great. So, okay, you know, first air raid, we went to the shelter. We were full of water, so it wasn't a lot of good. But the council did come along and concreted on the inside, and they actually put bunks in. Four bunks, rather crude things, but they were there so we could go. We used the shelters nearly every night. Although there was no direct bombing, we did have a problem with the air crew saying, "We're not going to go to London," so they used to dump the bombs out. And one night, we weren't actually in the shelter or indoors, and we heard this roar. We knew that it was a bomb. My mother dived underneath the sideboard, father and I under the table, and the first bomb landed at the bottom of Grandview Road and Hart Road, near the White Hart pub. The next one, we waited for the next one to come. That hit a house in Grandview Drive in Thundersley. And we went down, after it was over, we went down and had a look. And unfortunately, three people were killed, three ladies who lived in the house in the bottom of Grandview Road. And next morning, I looked out of my window and I said, "Mum, you know Savage's house?" She said, "Yes." I said, "It's gone." And that was gone as well. So there were three bombs, bump, bump, bump. One time it was daytime, and of course we saw so much activity over this area, dog fights going on all the time, and a Dornier 17, which are called flying pencils, was coming very low over where we lived. One engine was on fire, and one person parachuted out, and that landed in Pitsea Marshes. So we all nipped down there to have a look and see what the wreckage was like. And I found an incendiary bomb, which was scattered around, picked it up. Hadn't been dropped, it just come out of the crash plane. Well, this was a great prize, because if you've got a nose cap of a anti-aircraft shell, that was really something. But this was an actual bomb, albeit an incendiary. So I wanted to show my mates that I'd got this because it was a big prize. And I went to my mate's house, and his mother said, "Oh no, they've all gone up to the top of Kenneth Road to catch a bus to Southend." So I rushed up there, and I had a big overcoat, and I had a pocket that was down low, so I was able to stuff this bomb in, because they were about 14, 15 inches long. And when I got to the top of Brenches Hill, there was Barry Bridge and Henry Bridge, and their father owned Benfleet Buses, which was a green bus. There were only two buses there. There was Westcliff Buses and Benfleet and District. So we always went with the Bridge boys because we didn't have to pay. They said, "Oh, they're with us." So I had no means of disposing of this damned incendiary bomb. So we all piled on the bus, got to Southend, and the plan was to go to the Odeon Cinema. I was desperately trying to hide this fin that was sticking out, and managed to do it successfully. But they said, "Well, it's hot in here, take your overcoat off." I didn't take it off because this thing was sticking out. Anyway, we came back, and the next day we decided that we would try and set it off. So we went down Lover's Lane, climbed our favourite oak tree, and dropped it from a fair height. But it didn't go off. Didn't go off at all. So we took it back, and one of my friends, his father had a small holding just off of Kenneth Road, with big fields, which is now all built up, of course. And we took the nose cap off, unscrewed, and inside was an aluminium tube. We broke that open, and it was brown powder. So after a little bit, we managed to get it alight and did set the thing off. It didn't explode, it just was brilliant white light. So that was that episode. The other thing is that it's a wonder we weren't killed, because we had no fear at all. And after the fall of France, we knew that there would probably be a possible invasion. And we all decided that we're going to do something about this. And we would. Now, we thought of Molotov cocktails, but getting fuel was very difficult, so we got rid of that idea. And then I thought, well, many people used to have what is called acetylene lamps on their bikes. To explain that, there was a small reservoir of water, and you put in this water some carbide crystals, which when mixed with water created gas, which was an acetylene, and it used to give a really bright light on your headlight of your bike. So we got acetylene crystals was readily available. And we found some bottles, Ledicott's bottles. I think there was a place in Southend called Ledicott's that used to make lemonade. And the bottles were ideal because they had a ceramic stopper with a rubber gasket and then some wires that clipped it down. So we decided we'd experiment with water, so much water, so much acetylene, to get the right mix. Well, of course, what happened was they either went off too quickly or didn't go off at all. And I just don't know how we didn't get blinded. There was glass flying everywhere. These damn things exploded. And we didn't get hurt. Sometimes we threw it and it few yards away and bang, and that's it. So that's what we thought we would do. And I mean, quite stupidly, to think that we could throw them at a German tank and that it would do any damage. But anyway, that was that. So we abandoned the idea because it was obviously not practical. Well, we had access to shotgun cartridges by my friend's father. So we thought, well, we'll make a bomb. So we got a tin about the same diameter as the shotgun cartridge, soldered a nail in the bottom sticking up, held the cartridge over the top with a rubber band, put some fins on it, took it up to our favourite oak tree down Lover's Lane, and dropped it. Thank God it didn't go off, because the shot was facing straight up, so it would have just blown. Well, we would have had a frightening, absolutely frightening. But you know, we got away with it, and these are the sort of things that you do when, I suppose, it was only about 16 then, not hadn't got enough.